Hey, all, thanks for joining us. This is ID Sports. Today, we're talking about MLS soccer. We're talking about the Red Bulls. We're talking about some youth stars around the league. Let's get started. Thank you for watching ID Sports. Alex, thanks for joining us today. We're going to start out talking about the Red Bulls because they played the Montreal Impact and we were there.
Yes, we were. It was exciting to get media access. It's our first time at Red Bull Arena, and shout out to John Gasparoni, the Red Bull Media Communications Coordinator, making us feel professional and wanted. It was just first class all the way.
Tremendous experience. A lot of takeaways I have. The first one, I think the most noticeable, how eerie it was without having the crowd. You could hear everything every player said. I hated it and loved it at the same time.
You could hear the goalkeeper, Jensen, screaming at his defense to get back or mark. And then, you know, when Boyan scored that first goal from Montreal, that he yelled out. The whole stadium heard it. It was an eerie type feeling. And at the same time, when the Red Bulls scored, they love playing that Rage Against the Machine song, Bulls on Parade.
Yeah.
It almost felt like their tables were shaking without even fans in the stand. They cranked it up there. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Definitely an interesting artistic call to have absolutely no sound the entire game, but when a goal was scored,
yeah,
it was still cranked up to 10. People there. It was interesting artistic choice that I mentioned a couple times out there on Twitter. We had some great seats. I know I pulled up a couple there. There's me right up against the glass in the second tier. There's you with a pad. I don't think you wrote anything in it the whole time.
Yeah.
But it was there. You were on the computer. There's me trying to get Wi-Fi, getting a little spread going on. Food was terrific. Really great experience. And, great. Again, thanks Red Bull for having us. Hope to be there again soon. Let's get a little bit into the game. Going into the game, Montreal's defense had been pretty poor. 12 goals conceded in the previous four games. They also had a red card in three of their last four heading in to this matchup. Red Bull, of course, the story there, their offense has just been inept. 13 goals in 13 2020 games, and that somehow includes the four they scored the game before this. We had Kyoto on a red card, so you had Boyan and Aruti up top. Very interesting to see what they did. They had a five-man back line listed, but as we're going to talk about a little bit later, some of those guys didn't see the home half of midfield for most of the game. We're looking at Lassie Lapalainen in there, who just ran up top and just stayed there. Him and Boyan were attacking that left side all day. And that led to the first goal. Boyan with a banger 4 minutes into the game. We thought it was going to be a long night.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes, it was all Montreal Impact. Like you just mentioned, Lapinen running down the left side, overlapping Boyan, creating spaces in two-on-one situations. It seemed like the whole first 20. Red Bulls didn't seem like they got out of the gate quick. They looked step slow. I looked at you. I go, oh boy, this could be a long night. But all of a sudden, after the 20th minute or so, the Red Bull turned around. But this goal by Boyan, if you guys saw it on the highlights, what a banger. I mean, there's no way Jensen could have had that. I saw some people on tour like maybe he could have had it. There's no way. He ripped that in the upper corner. I mean, it was pure class. I mean, that was Boyan from 10 years ago that we all thought was going to be the next great world player. He saw how creative he loves hanging on that left side of that wing. We talked about it during the game.
Yeah.
And then he likes to cut inside, either cross the ball or beat guys one-on-one. And that goal was just a banger. It really was.
Absolutely. Boyan, I mean, and you mentioned it, he was supposed to be the next Messi. He was the youngest Barcelona Academy player to ever debut. He had 17 years and 19 days, his Spanish League debut. He had 26 goals, 104 appearances for Barcelona. I mean, this kid really did it all. 15 goals, 74 for Stoke City afterwards. And now we get to see him every week in MLS. Really exciting to go see him in person and just see exactly how we could attack the Red Bull defense in this game.
Again, you got to feel bad for Montreal, you know, with the COVID situation. They can't travel in and out of Canada. The practice is a problem. They've had injuries. They've had red card situations. They're using Red Bull as a home stadium. I don't even know where they practice. I know Henri talked about it pregame. It's been a challenge for them. It's almost unfair. You think about it compared to some other teams around the league.
You could tell because at the end of the game, when everyone else was packing up, in the time that the players are usually off the field, he sent the reserves back out. The reserves were running laps at the end of the game just to get some movement in their legs there. Let's get back to the scoring. Montreal did hold 62% of possession, but they were outshot 14-7. Shots on target, 5-4 in favor of Red Bull. Barlow with the race, 14-minute, 35th minute. Assist by Egbo and Royer, respectively. Also had a Kaku to Royer, 56th minute. Royer to Kaku, returning the favor in the 57th minute. Red Bulls take this one 4-1.
As Red Bull fans, we're not used to this, watching consecutive four-goal games. I mean, it seems like they're turning the corner now. Let's not get too excited. The opponents are Inter-Miami, and last game was Inter-Miami. However, you're seeing Kaku being very creative, lots more space in his new formation. No one's talking about Sean Nealis in the back. I wanted to bring up with the coach and get a chance to ask the question at the media session. Yep. He seems to be a totally different player this year from last year. I know the player rotation, we didn't have Aaron Long in here, but him and Parker in the back were very solid in the back. He seems to be very confident, Sean Nealis. A lot of Red Bull fans not talking about him, but he's really made a difference in the back since it started last month or so.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Barlow, again, he got off the schneid. He got two nice goals. Royer set up one nicely with a nice little cheeky back heel to him for a tap-in. And the Egbo cross, Egbo, perfect cross. I mean, nice chest right down. Barlow put it right in. That's what you want. That's what you want from your center forwards to win. You know, Barlow played very good. What's not to like? Barlow was great.
Still amazing to me how Barlow, and this goes for White and every other center forward, Red Bulls, trotted out. They just can't score on a breakaway. What is it this year? I mean, Barlow had another breakaway. He could have had three, and he waits too long, goalie closes down, blocks the shot away. I don't know any team that has as many breakaways that don't land in net as Red Bull does.
One thing I did notice about Barlow is he's very right-footed. His left foot is And so, a lot of, MLS defenses, they watch film, they know. They always try to make him go to his left, and that seems to be a problem with him. But, hey, take nothing away from him. He's on the MLS Team of the Week for good reason. He had two goals in this game. He was very good. He was, it was dangerous. This is the old 2018 Red Bulls with tap-in goals and creativity and watching Kaku run down in the left side, the right side, spraying the ball around. He did have some turnovers. We talked about it, but he was very good in this game.
I'm going to pump the brakes on 2018. This was not the best team to ever step foot on an MLS pitch. But
of course,
we did talk to a coach Carnell afterwards, and he was happy with the result, but he was adamant that he was not happy with how the team played. He saw a lot of sloppiness. 38% possession and only 76% passing. Montreal had 84% passing. You could just tell they were getting a little sloppy. They gave up that early goal, and he said they had too much energy bundled up in the wrong places to start the game and to give up that early goal. He did also say a little later that nobody works as hard as Tom Barlow, which I guess is how, even after poor play, he still keeps getting the call, and it finally paid off this week.
Like we just mentioned, the first 20 minutes was all Montreal. It looked like it was getting ugly, and then like a switch went off, and it was all Red Bulls. Again, the possession Red Bulls, what you said, 30-something percent. Yeah, Montreal had a lot of possession, but, there was Jensen made a big save on Lapinen when it was, I think, in the 55th minute. That would have changed the game when it was 2-1. After that point, when Jensen made that big save, it was all Red Bull after the last 35 minutes. It seemed like Montreal couldn't do anything.
Took a little clip from MLS.com. This is of Royer. I was able to ask him a question, and I asked him, as a veteran, what is he going to do to keep momentum, to help the young guys, help keep this team forward? Let's listen to what he said.
All right. Thanks a lot, Danny. Congratulations again. You just mentioned some tough games coming up. You have Orlando next week. As a veteran, what are you going to say or do to help get the team ready to try to build some momentum for the rest of the season?
I don't think I have to say a lot. We have a good group of guys in terms of who's speaking up, everybody knows the schedule and everybody knows that we need everyone and everybody has to be ready. But I have no doubt that we're ready. When I look at the training sessions from the past weeks, we just keep that up. Then, like I said, positive that we get some good results, but it's going to be tough.
From him and the coach, we both kind of got the idea that not much has changed. The mentality hasn't changed. There's not that shot of energy. They're just finishing better than they were a month ago.
And I like to add, they're defending better. They're not giving up cheap goals. They're better on set pieces, which seemed to be a problem beginning of the season. Rumors of a new coach coming in, rumors of the phenom Caden Clark coming in, with Minnesota United with the territorial rights. I don't know if they're going to make some changes with international duty. Kaku is going to be out for a while. He may miss even a playoff game. I don't know how that low that's going to. So again, if you're a Red Bull fan, two games in a row, four goals, only giving up two, exciting soccer, playing good defense. What's not to like? However, this Saturday on Fox National TV against Orlando, this is a big test and it's a big game. let's see what they can do.
Orlando's a big team. We're going to talk about them a little later. We said when we started out that this wasn't going to be a normal fan cast, that we weren't going to just be Red Bull homers, but when they let us into your game, we got to talk about them a little on the show. Let's move on a little bit. And I want to talk about Philly and Miami, an excellent game that happened there this week. And I want to start by talking about an incredible young goal scorer. That is one Anthony Fontana.
He came out of nowhere.
20-year-old Philly Academy kid. He really joins the likes of Aronson, Mark McKenzie, Matt Rial as guys who step from the Philly Academy onto the number one team. He got a start, finally. He's been kind of a super sub over the last couple of weeks, finally got that start, and he paid off with a goal. Started Bethlehem Steel July 2016 at age 16. Wow. In March 3rd, 2018, he actually played in the Philly opener and scored a goal in the debut. Now, flash forward to 2020. He started seeing some major playing time in September 12th, 26 minute against New England, two goals and a yellow card. That is actually the first Philly homegrown to score a brace in a game with the pro team. September 20th, just a week later, 45 minutes against Montreal. Guess what? He scored a goal. And in this game, 61 minutes, again, his first start for Philadelphia Union, 25 minute goal. And that happens to be the game winner from Kacper Szczypłowski.
And Kacper Szczypłowski is probably the best player in his game. He had two assists in his game. You know, like I said, what's not to like about Philadelphia Union? Team to watch. It might be the number one seed at the end.
Philly did end up winning 3-0. Kacper also had an assist to Ilsenio in the 69th minute. So from the youngest player to the oldest player.
That guy still can score, and he's still dangerous at his age. It's unbelievable. Gonzalo Higuain made his debut for Inter Miami. He almost scored on a bicycle kick early in the game with a change of game. And then he missed a penalty, and it was yapping back and forth, almost a fight. I mean, already the guy's in the league. I know he's making like $7 million a year, some of the players, and unless you're making like, what, 80K?
Yeah.
You can just imagine the smack talk there. I'm sure he knows some English. He's played in England.
At the very end of the game, Aronson scored a goal. Of course, who else? 90th minute to really salt it away.
The game was a lot closer. The 3-0 scoreline doesn't really show. Inter Miami was tough in this game. They had chances. They missed chances. You know, like I said, Higuain's bicycle kick and the penalty kick, they both go in. This game is totally different. It's not a 3-0 result. Miami's still trying to get to that 10th spot. I don't know. It might be a little too little too late for them. We'll see.
Absolutely. I also wanted to point out that Aronson stole the ball from Nealis, the other Nealis brother.
The other Nealis, the other brother.
Picked his pocket, took it right to goal, put it in the back of the net at the end of the game. You can't let that happen. You got to take a little foul there. I don't know.
It's worth the card to bring him down for sure.
Yeah, Miami had 60% possession and 16 total shot to Philly's 7. Higuain was obviously frustrated. He missed the penalty. He wanted to fight. Missed the bicycle kick. Nothing's going right in his debut. Obviously, what a tremendous player to come to MLS. Just not in his debut. Wasn't working. Now he's going to have to look for that goal in his second game.
Yeah, again, Miami's got the work cut out to be a top 10 seed in East. I don't think they're going to make it. I think they're just going to fall short.
Absolutely. Now we're going to move on to the Chicago Fire Atlanta United game. Atlanta obviously is continuing their slide.
Yeah, I think Atlanta is like done for the year. I mean, Barco didn't even play. Miles Robinson was out. I know there's rotation with a whole bunch of games, but Chicago slowly, I think they won two in a row, and Barrett just scored four straight games. Somebody to look out for. If they have a consistent score come playoff time, if they make the top 10, you're going to be afraid of Chicago. Chicago has some creative. Georgi Mihailovic played well. Like I said, Robert Barrett, a goal in four straight games.
Have a goal in four straight games. Chicago obviously is on a two-game winning streak. They won two shutouts in a row, and they scored six goals over those two games. This is the Chicago team we expected at the beginning of the year when we talked about how good they were going to be.
And Bobby Shuttleworth, the MLS veteran, was very good in goal. I think he was the player of the match. He had some really good saves to keep this game at 2-0. Again, Chicago, if you don't want to play a team that's got a consistent score up front, they could be dangerous. Looks like they're starting to click right now. Looks like they're going to be a top 10 seed and make the playoffs.
Atlanta doesn't look like they have any attacking willpower with Adam Jane up top. That's not going to cut it. 2020.
Yeah, this is a COVID lost year for Atlanta. I expect them to reload next year. New coach, new players, full stadium, the whole nine yards.
Last game we wanted to recap today. Toronto beat Columbus through Columbus Crew 3-1. I called this, I think, the game of the week during last week's episode. And something to mention, Crew was top of the East. Toronto was second. Now Toronto's top of the East. Crew is tied for second. So this game did have playoff implications, although we are a few weeks away. Possession, of course, was in Toronto's favor for most of the night. Mavinga's own goal started out kind of on the wrong foot for the Crew. For Toronto, they Crew scored a goal early on him, but it was all Toronto from there. Pozuelo, one goal, one assist, and he hit the post on another, could have had two. Ricky Larea, a goal and an assist, looked like one of the best players on the field. Absolutely tremendous game. What did you see from Toronto?
And in this game, Columbus was better in the first half. The second half, it was all Toronto. This is a huge, huge game, you know, in the East for, you know, 6-point difference. Toronto, again, we talked about it weeks before, quietly one of the better teams in MLS. To me, Pozuelo is the MVP. Still in MLS right now. If he had voting, I would vote for him as the MVP of the league. He consistently scored, I don't know how many goals. Is this 3 straight games he scored a goal? Something like that. He is just...
Yeah, he's banging.
He's just magic. He's just magic on the field. I mean, this is what a DP is supposed to do, game in and game out, score, assist. Altidore even had a goal in this game. Richie Larea, like you said, he was flying up and down the wing. He was very good in this game. This is a statement game for Toronto. Now, they're playing their home games, I do believe, at the East Hartford at UConn's stadium. So I don't know what kind of home field advantage they're going to have with this COVID, yeah. But the talent they have on the field, unlike Montreal, who's playing Red Bull at their stadium, they have Pozuelo. To me, Toronto is also an MLS Cup winner.
I can't think of any player like Pozuelo who means as much to his team as Pozuelo does. Like, if you take Sebastian Blanco away, well, you got a winning team without Sebastian Blanco. You take Kaku away, you got a winning team without Kaku. You take Pozuelo away,
they're not going to win the cup.
Yeah,
they're still not going to win the cup.
6 or 7 straight losses. Okay.
But, you know, they got a big game. Let's say they got Philly this week. That is a huge game in the East for standings. And, you know, that we're going to see right now who the best team in the East. The winner of that game, you got to start thinking, is probably be the number one seed in the East.
I really miss MLS's back because I miss watching every game throughout the week. We've had a busy week with Wednesday, a full lineup, and then a full Sunday. So we have a couple games coming up, but I just want to say, you know, I really, really like MLS's back, and I would like to see these games scattered a little more, not all on the same night of the week. Merely makes going back to rewatching a bit of a chore.
And in 1 week, we have 13 games on a Wednesday, to find Wednesday we don't. I know the games are all scattered, to compress to get all these games in because of COVID, everything was later. But it's getting towards the nitty gritty right now. And now, you know, international duty's coming. Players are going to be missing, which hurts MLS. Depth is really going to be an issue. You're going to see some young players you've never seen before playing in big spots. And you know, you're going to see some errors, and you're going to see some excitement and some heartbreak.
We're not going to go over every game this week, but let's look at a couple. Orlando versus Red Bull. We just saw Red Bull blow out 2 opponents in a row, but this is the real test. Kaku may be gone in Paraguay on duty. What do you think is going on here?
I'm going to have to take Orlando at home with this, especially if Kaku is not playing in this game.
One of the games I really want to highlight, Montreal versus Chicago. We talked about both of them already. Montreal has that defense that can't stop me run up the center.
And Binks got a red card. Yeah, Binks got a red card at the end of the Red Bull games. So he won't be here. So I'm going to take Chicago. Yeah, I'm going to take Chicago in this game on the road. I
believe that makes it 4 out of 5 games in a row that Montreal had.
Yeah, that's a problem. I forgot to
say that back in the...
that's a problem.
Can't imagine Thierry Henry is feeling too good about that. I would assume he has some choice words there.
Yeah, I feel bad for him, but you know, I'm going to Chicago 2 in a row. I'm going to go with them in this game on the road.
Toronto versus Philly.
Game of the day. I went back and forth 3 times. The game's going to be in Hartford. I'm going to have to take Toronto on this one because Wales is the best player on the pitch. I'm going to take Toronto. But I wouldn't bet the game.
Anthony Fontana in this game. I have to take Philadelphia.
Yeah, I understand. I was about to say, I would not be surprised if Philadelphia wins. Again, kind of a neutral site game. You know, Toronto's home in East Hartford. But I love Pozuelo, and if he's playing, I'm going to go with them.
One of the other tougher games, FC Dallas versus Columbus.
You know, Columbus going on the road now. Dallas is very difficult at home. Dallas is very tough at home. I don't know international duty what's going on there, but I think I took Dallas in this game because they're home.
San Jose versus the Galaxy. San Jose, by the way, who put it on LAFC 2-1 during last week.
After giving up 7-8 goals here and there, 5 goals left and right. I don't know what's going on in the Galaxy. Where is Chicharito? Where are you? I mean, this is the time he needs to step up. San Jose, arguably, the roster isn't up to par to MLS standards, even Almeida said it a few weeks ago.
That's the understatement of the week.
I'm going to have to... this is the game Chicharito has to score. So
Let's go.
I think this is the game. This is an older MLS rivalry. This is the original El Clasico. I'm going to go with the Galaxy snap out of their funk, and I'm going to say Chicharito with a goal in this game for the win.
You heard it here first, guys. Thank you for watching ID Sports.
Adios.